Let's turn directly to our text congregation, Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. You'll notice this is one of those numerical sections of the book of Proverbs. In verse 4 and following, you have four questions. Verses 11 and following, four generations. Verse 15, three things that are never satisfied, four never say enough. 18, three things which are too wonderful for me, yes, four which I do not understand. 21, three things the earth is perturbed, yes, for four it cannot bear up. And then our text, there are four things which are little on the earth, but they're exceedingly wise. 24, and then 29, there's another one, three things which are majestic in pace, yes, four which are stately in walk, a lion, a greyhound, a male goat, and a king. Anyway, let's look at verses 24 through 28. 24 through 28 of Proverbs 30. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people, not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble people, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in king's palaces. And I'm going to take the alternative reading for that, the lizard. The lizard is skillfully grasped with our hands, or the lizard we grab with our hands. It's the translation I want to go with. The lizard we take or grab with our hands, yet it is in king's palaces. This is God's word, and may he bless us by it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus loved to describe the covenant relationship in terms of grass, lilies, birds, little creatures, little parts of creation, to show on the one hand how little and weak we are as God's children, but on the other hand, to show how great and glorious, loving and kind our Heavenly Father is. And the Spirit of Christ in Solomon loves to do the same thing. We know that by God's grace and by the Spirit's power, Solomon was given a lot of wisdom and knowledge about trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish. I'm reading from 1 Kings 4 then. And he composed over 3,000 proverbs. In chapter 30, he's borrowing proverbs from a certain Agur, the son of Jakeh. We don't know who this guy is, but likely he held wisdom symposia with wise men from across the Middle East, and in the Spirit's power, Solomon loved these sayings of Agur, and particularly with regard to creatures and how they apply to mankind, to God's covenant people. And so he gathered them in the Spirit's wisdom, and the Spirit included these sayings of Agur in the book of Proverbs. So tonight we want to focus on four little critters which God's people are to learn from: ants, rock badgers, locusts, and lizards. And God put these proverbs here to teach us how to live wisely. To live wisely here on earth, because foolishness abounds, brothers and sisters. People think they are great. People think they're strong, powerful, and that's the greatest deception on the face of the earth and planet Earth. We think we're great. And these proverbs teach us we're little creatures. And these little creatures teach us how to live like little people, to live wisely before a great God. So we want to learn here how to live wisely from God's little creatures. And we want to look at two things, and look at these two things with each of the four creatures. First, what place they have in the animal kingdom, and what these animals are to teach us as children of God's kingdom. Verse 24, there are four things which are little on the earth, but they're extremely wise. And in these four pictures of ants and rock badgers and locusts and lizards, we meet very small and insignificant creatures which are wise way beyond their size. These are wise way beyond their size. And that's the point of these little creatures. On the one hand, they recognize their smallness and weakness. They comprehend it. And on the other hand, they compensate for their littleness and weakness through wisdom. They recognize their weakness, they compensate for it through wisdom. And in that way, through wisdom, the little ones become strong. The weak ones become mighty. That's how God wants his children to live. That's why we're gathered to pray. Prayer is weak people in faith holding on to a mighty God for help. So if God's critters live so wisely in this world, how much more should God's children live wisely in this world? So let's first look at the ants. Verse 25, the ants are a people not strong. Isn't that great? They're a people. Ants are people. It's a metaphor. The comparison is, this is how we as people ought to live. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. Ants are related to the bee family. And as we talk about busy bees, we also realize that ants are busy creatures of God. There are an estimated 22,000 species of ants. They gather in colonies of up to millions. They're highly organized, very efficient in their operation. Ant societies organize in a division of labor. They communicate between individuals. They have an ability to solve complex problems. Ants are little but amazing creatures. And mankind has long been fascinated with ant cultures from the beginning and has compared them to people cultures and even sought to learn from them. Ants are people of little strength. You recognize that from the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, 6 through 8. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, any officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Ants slumber in winter, but come spring and summer, they work very hard to provide for themselves. They seize the day. They don't waste their time in idleness. They don't sleep when they should be awake. They don't kick back when they should be working. Ants have towns. They have public roads, writes one author. They're renowned for industry, for being busy. One author writes that the sign at the entrance into an ant town is, if you will not work, neither shall you eat. They're so small. A little child can step on him and squish him and never know it. But even though they're so small and vulnerable, they work hard to preserve and provide for themselves. And through their hard work, they become formidable, even dangerous. Get an ant colony under your house. It can do a lot of damage. Because of their wisdom, these little ones are mighty. So what does God want us to learn from ants? Should God's children learn from these little people? Well, we too are weak and cannot take survival for granted. We have to fight to survive. We shouldn't take our food and livelihood for granted. We shouldn't take the road of socialism that says it's society's job to pay my way, to pay my education, to pay my health care, to pay my pension, pay all my education and wage, my income. No, God wants us to be wise, to apply our skills to living, to be good stewards of our talents and time and strength and money, to make hay while the sun shines, to be industrious, to be hardworking, and above all, to realize that neither our work nor worry can do us any good apart from God's blessing. Call upon the Lord to give us success in our endeavors, to bless our endeavors, because apart from Him, nothing we do can come to, and unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Speaking there of the church, the household of God most of all, but certainly of every one of our households too. And the Lord calls us to do the same spiritually, to be good stewards of our faith, to provide for our faith through the means of grace, meditation upon Holy Scripture, through prayer, not to be sluggards when it comes to growing in grace, to be diligent in the Word of God, to work out our salvation so that each day and each year we look more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ as we rest in His finished work for our salvation and look to His Spirit for growth in grace. Look at the ants, and secondly, look at the rock badgers. The rock badgers are a feeble folk. Actually, the word in the Hebrew is the same as the one in the previous verse, people. The rock badgers are a feeble people, yet they make their homes in the crags. I know when you're thinking of a badger, you're thinking of something mean and vicious, like a wolverine. I don't think that's what a rock badger is like. I don't know if you've ever met one. I haven't. Maybe at a zoo. It's also called a rock hyrax, or a coney, or a dassey. That doesn't help you either. They're a little furry animal, like an oversized guinea pig, something like a rabbit, a bunny. Found in the Middle East and Eastern Africa, they have rounded ears and no tail, stumpy toes with hoof-like nails. They're shy, they're timid, they're defenseless. And that's the point. These little, weak, defenseless creatures are able to survive and thrive. That's amazing. How can that be? Again, it's their wisdom. They recognize their littleness, their weakness. And they make their homes in the crags, in the rocks, in the cliffs. Their strength lies in their rock shelters to which they run and hide. Their safety lies in being able to seek shelter quickly. They have a system. When they're feeding out in the field, they have a lookout person. Lookout badger, who makes lots of noise when it senses danger. And then quick as a flash, they all run where nobody can reach them. They don't say, hey, we can live out here in the field and take on those lions. I'm not going to be some chicken hiding in the rocks. No, they build their homes in the crags. And that's their wisdom and that's their strength. And we're called to the same wisdom. Man lives under the illusion that he's strong and nobody can take him down. That his health is forever and his wealth is forever and his nation is forever. And it's foolish. The opposite is true. The smallest bug, virus, slip can destroy you. His only strength is wisdom, finding shelter and protection in a home that's stronger than he. Listen to Psalm 71, verse 3. Be to me a rock of refuge, to whom I may continually come. And that's the shelter, the safety, the strength of God's people. that seeing our weakness and vulnerability to everything that's out there, we're not strong enough to handle it. We have a strong rock to whom we can run. Our God, who through the Lord Jesus Christ has created a shelter and a hiding place for us from destructive storms, protecting us both body and soul, so that in Him, who has taken God's wrath upon Himself to shield us, body and soul, from damnation, from bondage to Satan, so that in Jesus, when we run to Him, we can hide and be safe forever. It's the only way to go about our daily tasks, congregation. Whether we're on the farm, on the road, in the office, in the classroom, to recognize danger can get us anywhere. And the only shelter is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say so much in this past year, stay safe. And we should. But the only place to stay safe is Jesus. And then you're safe everywhere in Him. No matter what you face, even if whatever you're facing kills you, you're safe in Him. You have eternal life. The third creature, look at the locusts. The locusts have no king, verse 27. Yet they all advance in ranks. They have no king. They're without a protector. They're usually on their own. And like ants, they're easily squished underfoot. But when locusts get together by instinct, they form a mighty, fearsome army, advancing in ranks, even though they have no commander. And their armies can number into the billions, causing great devastation. Even with modern technology, swarming plagues are still a problem. In 2003, in Utah, the snowplows had to come out to clear the roads after swarms of locusts came through, eating everything in their path. Still happens. Weak, but they find great strength in unity and in working together as one body. And that's what makes them mighty. If they looked for strength in themselves, they would never be strong. But they advance together in ranks. And they can be a devastating force when they get together. Listen to Joel 2. Joel 2, 7 and 8. Speaking of locusts, they run like elite soldiers, climbing walls like men trained for war. Each man advances in proper order, never breaking rank. Neither does a man crowd his fellow soldier. Each one marches in his own path. His own path, but together, not crowding each other, not separating from each other. Oh, what a reminder for us as God's children. This is wisdom. Alone, we're weak and defenseless. God has provided us one another. The army of Christ. We march not to destroy, but to bless. Destroy the kingdom of darkness, yes, but to bless one another and for the building up of the body of Christ. We don't do this by instinct, though. We do this by the power of the Spirit of Jesus, who works by faith and by faith draws the saints toward one another, into one body as members of one another, intricately tied to each other in the Spirit's power. When we believe in Jesus Christ, He washes our sins away. He fills us with His Spirit, gathers us together, calls us to serve one another. Matthew Henry writes on this proverb, a sense of weakness should engage us to stand and stay together, that we may strengthen the hands of one another. It's true in our material needs. We pray, our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. We're together in this call to seek the Lord's help to give us our physical needs and to support one another in that. In case disaster or disability should strike any one of us, that we stand together, and that makes the church a mighty army in God, though alone we have no strength. So may God give us grace to help and serve one another. We've prayed for that this evening, so that no one needs to walk alone and defenseless through trial. So wisdom says, don't walk alone and don't allow anybody else to walk alone. As people saved by Christ, let's walk together, pray together, serve together, share our possessions, griefs, sorrows, burdens with one another. It's one of the ways the Lord Jesus is pleased to take care of his children. So we're little, like ants, like rock badgers, like locusts. We need to compensate for that with wisdom. And then, fourthly, we're little like the lizards. The lizard skillfully grasps with his hands, or the lizard you take, you grasp, you seize with your hands. You can grab it and hold it. Such a little thing, like a gecko. And yet it's in kings' palaces. This is referring to the stellion or spotted lizard, an olive-green Mediterranean lizard with black star-shaped spots. Not poisonous, little, harmless, defenseless. You find it climbing walls, walking across ceilings. It can find its way into any home through very small holes. They live dangerously. The maid is always after them, trying to grab them with her hand or hit them with her broom. Shoo them out of the building, and there they are. I thought I got you. There they are. They survive. They thrive. In fact, they find their way into the most prestigious places in the world, kings' palaces. How on earth? And here's another piece of wisdom for the child of God. The king doesn't want you in his palace. You're not the king's friend. You're just a little guy. The world wants you out of the way. Jesus says the world hates us. Trying to sweep us away with its broom. But by God's grace, Daniel can be found in the king's palace. Paul greets in Philippians 4. He says, all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. How'd you guys get in there? You see, God's little children, by his grace, find an open door to serving the King of Kings in places all over, to use our talents in many different places, though we're so little. In fact, this is the only one in these little critter stories that is singular. Ants, locusts, rock badgers, the lizard. It's the way the Lord can work in individual lives of his children to use you in his service. And by faith, we believe this. In fact, all of these pictures are commands to live wisely, but they're also filled with covenant promises. For the ant, provision from the Lord when you offer your life to him. For the rock badger, protection in the Lord Jesus Christ when you trust in him. For the locust, strength in the body of Christ, when you give yourself to one another in the name of Jesus. And for the lizard, service wherever God puts you, when you offer your life to him as a living sacrifice. And so we stand before our God tonight as little creatures, so little, so weak in ourselves. Our temptation is to think we're great. Well, maybe not the greatest, but, you know, not so bad, not so little. But as the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, you feed them. the 5,000. We've got nothing but just this. What's that for so many? He teaches us that by his greatness, little people have everything they need and more in Christ, who gave his life on the tree of the cross for us and rose again to give us eternal victory, so that nothing in all creation can separate us from his love, and everything in all creation has become ours. And we are Christ's, and Christ is God's. What an amazing thing to be part of God's, not animal kingdom, but his eternal kingdom in his covenant of grace with us. Let's give him thanks in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you that though we are little, you are great. Though we're weak, you are strong. Though we have nothing, you have everything. As we look around at the little critters all around us and see how you have ordained strength for them, help us also to learn that our strength is not in ourselves but in you. Help us then to offer ourselves to you continually in prayer, seeking for all that you've promised us, and use us for your glory wherever your calling sends us, Lord. And help us to support one another in that calling, to be your faithful army in a world that needs our witness. So use us, equip us, provide for us, protect us. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.